Well, good morning. Good morning, church. As Joe said, my name is Bill Gallus, Pastor Bill Gallus. You got to excuse my voice this morning. We're struggling with a cold, but this is way better than 2 days ago. My wife couldn't tell you, I couldn't even talk. And we were praying, saying, oh, God, I have to speak, and I can't even talk. I couldn't even talk in a whisper. So this is way, way better. So, but you can pray for me as I preach here. But as Joe said, we were on staff here, Mary and I. Last time I spoke here, I think it was Christmas Eve New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Last time was here, and great to be back. That was my office there. I always point that out. I think it's a storeroom now. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'll do it real quick. When Mary and I, we were missionaries over in an island in the South Pacific called Western Samoa, a little island over there. When we came back here, we were in between churches, and there were no churches available, and, we were just, God, I got to provide for my family. I had a wife and two children, and, just no churches available, and we were praying. And in this time, I don't know if anybody ever been through a dark time? Am I the only one? Okay? Well, you just don't know, God, what are you going to do? And so we're praying and saying, Lord, I need to provide for my family, but I want to serve you, but there's no churches available. And one Sunday, I went up to the altar. I was out at Allison Park, and I got up at the altar, and I said, God, I don't know what you have planned for me. I don't know if you want me still in ministry, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, I went home. Our phone was ringing. I didn't think I'd catch it in time, okay? I didn't have a cell phone at that time. I didn't even know if they had cell phones at that time. Maybe this was back in 1984, 85, somewhere in there. I think cell phones were like this big, okay? Phone was ringing. I didn't think I'd catch it. Got in the house. Answered it. Was Pastor John Holt. He said, Pastor Bill, he said, we've been searching for a pastor to start a new work. Our church wants to mother a church in an area of our city, and your name came to our hearts. And came and Bethel Assembly, used Mary and I to start a brand new church over in Lawrenceville. It's still there, been there for 30 years. They have their own building, East End Assembly of God. This church birthed that church. Just want you to know that. So you never know what God has for you. And so, again, it's exciting to be here. This is my wife and I. We live 5 minutes away. Could walk to this church, could ride a bike to this church. We live right here in Brighton Heights. And so this is sort of home to us. Grew up on the north side of Pittsburgh. My wife grew up here in north side. So this is home, okay? So I want to just tell you, good to be home with you guys, okay? It's also special this day. This is called St. Patrick's Day, all right? I'm going to give you a little info about St. Patrick. He wasn't a saint. Actually, he was never canonized by the Catholic Church. But because of his life, he was so recognized that he stood out, okay? But we're saints. The Bible says we're saints, holy ones, saved by God, delivered, forgiven, made sons and daughters. That's what saint means, okay? We're saints. Now, I wouldn't go to a Roman Catholic person and say I'm a saint. They wouldn't understand that, right? But in God, we're special. We're made holy. And so St. Patrick's Day, celebrate today, March 17th. The reason it's March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, that's the day that Patrick died. And some of you might not know that his name was not Patrick. his name was Maewyn Sacott. He grew up in Britain, which we now know as England, back in the 4th century, a long time ago. And he was not a Christian. He was captured by Irish pirates. And he was taken from his home in Britain to Ireland, where he was made a slave. He spent 6 years feeding animals. He was a slave. And it was during that time, as a slave, he had an encounter with God. We'd call it his born-again experience. And he heard a voice telling him, your boat is ready. And so he got up. He walked 200 miles to the shore of Ireland. And there was a boat. And he got passage on it. And he went back to his home, saw his family again. But he had an experience with God. So he felt the call of God. So he ended up in Gaul, which we now know as France. And he studied to be a priest, a man of God. And when he was about 60 years old, he was captured when he was 16, went through an ordeal of slavery, traveling to get back home, ends up studying for the priesthood in France. And he gets another call to go back to Ireland. Now think about this. He escaped from there, ex-slave from there, didn't have a good experience there. And God says, go back. So God calls him to get on another boat and head back to Ireland. In his ministry, we know about, he had an autobiography he wrote about his experiences. Other historians have written about him. That through his ministry, over 120,000 converts came to the Lord. And he built over 300 churches in Ireland. And when Europe was going through the Dark Ages, it was being invaded by Vikings and invaded by other tribes, pagan tribes, it was Ireland who sent missionaries to Europe and brought about a revival in Europe from one man who heard a voice, your boat is waiting. And later in life, you know, you're never too old. I think he was about 60 years old. That's usually when people retire. No, you're going to go back on another boat and do a work you can't even imagine. So we have St. Patrick's Day on the calendar. And it's not about drinking. It's not about green and wearing silly hats. It is a reminder for us who want to know the real story. It's a reminder of what God can do with a man who says yes and a woman. And you know, the Word of God is full of reminders. And the church is full of reminders. That's a reminder, right? We put it on our walls. Some of you wear it around your neck, right? Talked about Hamilton having silent communion. Communion's a reminder, right? Of the death of Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate Easter in a few weeks, right? A reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the church is full of these reminders to kind of stir us again, to kind of shake us out of our complacency, to say, listen, there's something bigger for you to do. And there's someone who did something big for you, and that's Jesus Christ. So I said the Word of God is full of reminders. There's a passage in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. It's in Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to be reading a few verses, starting at verse 1. Joshua chapter 4 says this, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Remember, they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. Most of them who had come out of Egypt had died. This is a new generation. Okay? How many of you know we need a new generation? All right, Joshua and Caleb, they got to go in. They were the older generation. But how many know we need a new generation? I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. It says, so Joshua called together the 12 men. He'd appointed from the Israelites, one from every tribe. He said, go before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of Jordan. So they get out in the river. When they get to the middle, he says, each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribe. So 12 guys, middle of the river, picks it from the riverbed, they pick up a stone, put it on his shoulder. So it wasn't a pebble, it was a large stone. And it says, this is going to be a sign among you. It's going to be a reminder. Like I said, the Bible's full of reminders. Our church today is full of reminders. March 17th, we call it St. Patrick's Day, a reminder of what? What God does when people obey him. He said, it's going to be a sign among you. But here's an interesting part of this verse. He says, in the future, when your children ask you, I want to stop right there. You know, there's a time in your life, you know, I'm older, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have 7 grandchildren. I'm proud to say that. If you want pictures, I'll show you. Okay? But there's a, you know, I'm not going to give my testimony, but some of you out there, your testimony, you weren't a saint, okay? I became a Christian and I had, you know, got married, had children. They don't know the pre-life bill. They don't know the things I did and the sadness I caused my family. And can I get some amens for you? All right. They don't know that. Why do you go to church so much? Why do you read your Bible? Why don't you drink? Why don't you swear? Why don't you do those things? They don't know the pre-you, right? We have to tell them what Christ has done in our life. And that's what he's saying here. Joshua's saying there's going to come a time when you have children in this new land. And there's going to be these power rocks. And they're going to say to you, why are they even there? What's their significance? And he's going to say, and this is what you'll tell them. This is what these stones mean, that God stopped the flow of the Jordan, that we were able to cross over. And God delivered us from Egypt, where we were slaves. And when you see these stones, there's a story. There's a story. St. Patrick has a story other than drinking shamrocks and silly hats. Reminders are there for a reason. Why? Because we forget. Someone once said it is the doom of man that they forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to forget. Help us to remember and help us to hear your voice. And help us to say yes. Because what is remembrance without a yes? It's nothing. So Lord, take your word and do something powerful in my life, in our life. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the way it works with me, with preaching. Mary and I, we just retired after 40 years in ministry. But let me tell you this, you don't retire. You don't retire. You just go in a new phase. So we're still active in our church over in West Mifflin. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. But let me tell you, ask any minister. After 40 years of pastoring, you have a lot of sermons. I mean, I have a file cabinet full of sermons that are quite easily 1,000 sermons. Probably not exaggerating on it. 1,000 sermons. Pastor Danny asked me to speak. Hey, would you come and speak? I'd be happy to. You know there's a temptation when you got 1,000 sermons. You know that? What's the temptation? Just go down and close your eye. Pick one out, right? God will not allow me to do that. I call it percolating. You know, that's an old term. You know, everybody makes fancy, you know, you use, French press and all this other gadgets. But remember the old percolators? Are they even, they even still exist, okay? That's how God works with me. Something percolates. It simmers. It brews. I have something for you today. And it's not from 1,000 sermons that I just snatched one up. It's for you. I heard an evangelist once say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. I think some of us are going to say ouch. I think I'm going to say ouch. I was at a conference of ministers a while back, and I heard a missionary from Africa speaking, and she said, there's an African proverb. Now, I love proverbs. That's my favorite parts of the teaching of Jesus Christ when he brings proverbs, because my mind works like that. It works in imagery, okay? You're going to see that in a moment, the imagery here. But that's how God speaks to me. My church over in Lawrenceville said I could, not in Lawrenceville, there too, but in West Mifflin, they said I could ride down the road, see the squirrel, and come up with a sermon with it. That's just how God speaks to me. But this thing has been brewing, and so I heard this proverb from this African missionary. She said this. Here's the African proverb. It says, don't push away the canoe that brought you. Could we put that slide up? Don't push away the canoe that brought you. Do you get the imagery? You've been on this journey. You want to get to the far shore. You get there. You get out of the canoe. You say, I'm never going to need this thing again, and you push it away. You know, there's things that got you here that we pushed away, and we need it. Because you never know about when you're going to have to get back in that canoe and to get something or do something. Don't push away the canoe that brought you. You can say it another way. Remember what got you here. You'll probably need it again. I want to share what I feel God has this morning for all of us, not just you. I'm very well aware when you get that preaching finger out, there's three of them pointing back, right? Well aware of that. And maybe some of us have pushed away our canoe. You can say, ouch. I'll explain what I mean by that. First, I want to talk about you just personally as a Christian. How'd you get here? What brought you to the place where you started your relationship with God and began to grow in your relationship to God? And maybe what even has you in this church right now? Or maybe you've been a part of this congregation for many years. What got you here? What, after you gave your heart to the Lord, what kept you going? I got saved in 1975, long time ago. That's soon going to be 50 years, right? That's crazy. That's back when I had black hair. It's crazy. What keeps us going? I'm going to make it easy for you to remember, you took care of yourself. I'm going to explain what I mean by care. You took care of yourself. Let's use a little acronym there. Care. Church. That's what kept you going. You couldn't get enough of it. Now, I am not bragging. I'm just telling you the way it is. And Mary, my wife, she could tell you, when we got saved, I got saved in 1975. This Jesus was brand new. He changed my life. He took drugs out of my life. He gave me a new purpose. Man, I had joy. I was happy. I knew I wasn't going to hell. I wanted to hear more. Okay? You know Bethel used to have a Tuesday night Bible study? I came there. My wife got filled with the Holy Spirit right up here, right this side. I stood in that line. I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit that night. I made her feel bad about it. Wednesday, another church I went to because they had a Wednesday study. I went there on Wednesday. Thursday, Ephesians 5 was a Bible study on the Bible on the north side. I went there on Thursday. So I'm here at church on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we went track passing out in the streets of Pittsburgh. Saturday, went to a prayer meeting. Sunday, went to church on the morning and the evening. The only reason it took Monday off is I couldn't find a church that had something on Monday, okay? And you know what? It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a guilt thing. I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to take care of myself. And the house of God is where I wanted to be. There's a psalm. David writes it in Psalm 42. I'll read it for you. He says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Oh, my God. I was thirsty. I was thirsty. I wanted church. And church helped me grow. And church taught me. It was in church I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was in church I learned the Word of God. In the church I learned about prayer. In the church I learned to give. Church. But have we kicked the canoe? We got to the other side. What's the other side? Well, that's the promised land. We're going to heaven. We sang about it. He's a God who stays. He's a God that forgives. He's a God who's patient with us. He's a God that nothing can separate his love from. We're on the other side already. We haven't died yet, but we know where we're going. So have we kicked the canoe away from it because we've already arrived? Let me tell you, you need church. You need the house of God. He says, where can I go to meet my God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where's your God? For you work a secular job. It's hard. I mean, I've had the privilege and honor that my working adult life, I've been in the church. But that has not been the experience of a lot of you out there. When you go on Monday morning, you go to a place where they swear and they have different values and they mock God, and just to be a Christian is just looked on as weird. You need a place to get refreshed. That's what David's talking. He said, when they said to me, where's your God? You know, the media is telling you, where's your God? People you work with sometimes says, where's your God? If he's so good, why are you struggling? They question your faith. They question Jesus. And David says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul when I go to the house of God. And I'm under his protection. The protection of the mighty God. The one with joy, shouts of joy and praise among the festive crowd. We need a place we come to. We're on the same page. Because we are not on the same page with the world. We are not. We need a place where we're on the same page, where you raise your hand and you're not weird. You come to the altar and you kneel down and you're not strange. You weep and they put oil on your head and that's not considered. What is that happening up there? We're on the same page. And the songs we sing aren't about money and sex and about popularity and praising man. It's about praising God and worshiping him. We need this house. We need the house of God. But we, some of us, and I don't know who, we have kicked the canoe and said, we don't need it anymore. I got saved. I'm going to heaven. Sunday morning comes and we don't find church. We don't go to a prayer meeting. We don't go to a Bible study. We kicked the canoe. We pushed it away. And I'm going to tell you something. We need that canoe more than we've ever needed it. We need to take care of ourselves. That's how we survived. What's the A for care? So we need to get along with God. There's a verse in Psalms 5. I want to read it. It was a song. We sang it. I asked Joe if he knew it. Joe's too young. Joe learned this song. Say ouch, Joe. Okay. Psalms 5. We sang it. You'll remember it. Don't go by my voice because it's not in tune today. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and to thee I will look up. Remember that? Some of you remember singing that? What, am I old here? Come on. But it's talking about prayer. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the importance of prayer, of getting alone with God, of finding that place to meditate, to think, to weep, to enjoy. When we got saved, we prayed a lot. Before we got saved, we prayed a lot. And then we got to the other side. And we say we don't need that canoe anymore. Ouch. Ouch. What's the R? How about reading the Word of God? Got saved. Read the Bible every day. Read the Bible all the way through. It was in this church. I forget who the speaker was. I can't remember his name. But I remember he gave this testimony. I was sitting out here. I forget what. I think it was on either a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or a Tuesday. He had Tuesday here. He talked about when he first got saved, he was out of work. And he didn't have a lot of responsibility. So he read the Bible. That's what he did every day. He read the Bible through in a month. In a whole month. And I heard that. And I said, I want to do that. He challenged me. So I sat down. I think it's something like 30 plus verses a day. I'm going to tell you this. Don't skip a day. Don't miss a day. You know, reading 60 or 70 verses, that's a lot. So don't skip a day. But so I did. And I was blessed. And I said, I'm going to do that again. And I read it again. I wanted more of the word. I don't know how many of you began to memorize scripture. I began to memorize scripture. I mean, I had little cards. I'd write them down. I'd put them in my pocket and walk around and try to remember it. Okay, I'd have the reference on one side, the writing on the other. I'd read it. Because I wanted to know the Word of God. Why? Because I wanted to witness to people. That was my main thing. Not to be proud, but I wanted to be able to speak the Word of God to people and know it. So we read the Word of God when he got saved. He read it every day. Maybe he had the daily bread, the little devotional. Maybe some of you still use that. It was your ritual. It was your habit. Somehow that canoe has drifted. It's way out in the middle of the lake. And we're filled with garbage on TV and television and the radio and the media. We're filled with the message of the world's scriptures. And we have nothing to wash us clean. Wash me according to your word and make me clean. We started out our walk. We took a shower in the Word of God. We took a shower in it. Then we took a shower every other day. And some of us haven't taken a shower of the Word of God in quite a while. No wonder we're dirty. Ouch. See, that was what kept us going in the house of God. We wanted as much as we could. We prayed. We just didn't say the rosary. Or when the pastor prayed, we bowed our head and we called that our prayer time. No, we had our own prayer time. We had our own prayer closet. Your prayer closet can be your bed. Your prayer closet can be your car. Your prayer closet, you got to have a prayer closet somewhere. But that canoe has drifted. And how did it drift? We didn't see it as important anymore. Don't push away the canoe that brought you. It says in Psalms 119, I'll read a few verses. It says, your commands are always with me. They make me wise. Wiser than my enemies. Boy, do we need the wisdom of God. Do you know there's minefields out there? You know it's hard to navigate? We think we're the Titanic. There's icebergs out there. He said, your word makes me wiser than my enemies. He said, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. How sweet are your words to taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your word. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. You can't say amen, say ouch. Amen. And what's the E? Well, the E is evangelism. We told everybody about Jesus. Everybody. Even the ones that didn't want to hear. We didn't have a lot of tact back in those early days. I mean, we tell people, now you can look and say, there's a better time to tell them, but we didn't care. We talked to Jesus about Jesus on the bus. We talked to Jesus at lunchtime. We talked to Jesus to our friends. We talked to Jesus about Jesus to our neighbors and to our family members. I had one lady who I grew up in the neighborhood, and she was sort of the mother of the neighborhood. And I got saved, and I was so excited. I was so full of God, so full of Jesus. I was so excited. I was telling everybody. She said to me, she said, I'm excited that I don't know how she said religious. She said, but aren't you ever going to talk about anything other than Jesus? No. No. Until the boat drifts away. When's the last time actually told someone about Jesus Christ, shared your testimony, prayed for someone, see them hurt, and you say, listen, I know there's a God who can help you. He loves me. He loves you. I pray his name's Jesus. When's the last time we told someone about Jesus Christ? We lived on that. We lived on that. That's what kept us going. If we weren't in church hearing about Jesus, if we weren't in our prayer closet praying to Jesus, if we didn't have a book open reading about Jesus, we were talking about Jesus. It's what kept us going until it got tiresome to talk about Jesus, until it got uncomfortable to talk about Jesus, until it wasn't important to talk about Jesus, until it was inconvenient. We push that boat away. And we wonder why we feel so lost. Because the things that sustain us, we didn't just need them to get us to heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ gets us to heaven. It's not works. It's not how often you read the Bible. It's not how many people you talk to. It's not how often you're in church. That does not save you. Did I make that clear? Okay. It is Jesus Christ, his blood, his sacrifice, and me calling and having mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner, and belief in him. That's my salvation. But what keeps me going is I take care of myself. I find myself in the house of God. I find myself on my knees. I find my face in his word, and I tell everyone I can about him. That's what keeps us going. It says in Matthew chapter 10, I love this verse 27, Matthew 10, 27 says, what I tell you in dark, speak in the daylight. So there's things that God whispers in us as we pray, God, and we look in his word. We have our private times with God. He says, those things I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What's whispered in your ear? Here's the powerful part. He said, what the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, shout it from the rooftops. That's Jesus talking to us. Don't be silent. Yes, have your quiet time with the Lord. Yes, have your time with the word. Yes, enjoy church. Praise your hand. But get out there and tell people that they need a boat. to get over. The Lord is speaking like he spoke to St. Patrick. Your boat is waiting. Your boat is ready. And when we get in that boat, we might find us bringing other people with us in that boat. We are not done. Do we need to go home? We are not done. So I was talking about us as individuals. Now I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about Bethel. I want to talk about Walnut Grove. I want to talk about the church. Look around you. What brought you here? Chances are someone invited you, or you heard about it, or some ministry. Here we're gathered. There is a move in the church. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about evangelical born again churches, not just, you know, churches I know personally, but the churches in general. My observation: there is a move toward let's make the church younger. Let's make the church younger. Now, being young is important, because if we all get old and no new people are brought here, what happens? Church dies. I mean, is that big news? I mean, it's obvious, right? We age out. So it's important for new people to be brought into the house of God. And so there's this move when it comes to worship, when it comes to emphasis. Let's reach the young. And I'm okay with that. To a point. Let's not push that canoe away. You know who the canoe is in the church? It's the old saints. It's the old saints. The young people that are coming, they didn't build this church. They didn't put through sweat and toil and prayer and witness and their own finances and their own sacrifice. This building exists because the old timers were obedient to God. If we move a generation of saying, it's get these young people in here, like I said, I understand we can't age out. But if we forget what brought us here, who's going to teach these young people about tithing? Who's going to teach these young people about faithfulness in trouble? Let me tell you, veteran, I don't like to call you old saints. I'll call you veteran saints. Here's what the veteran saints, that boat that started Bethel, that boat, that canoe that started Walnut Grove, that boat, that canoe that started Allison Park. You know, Allison Park's a huge church. You know who started that? Right here. Bethel Assembly. You veteran saints, you've been through tough times. You've been through financial troubles and challenges. You've been through family heartaches. You've been through health issues.
There we go. Thank you. Thanks, Joe. So we've been through death of our friends and families. You veteran saints, you're still here. You're still here. And I could go to any church, born again church, and see the gray heads. They're still here. Why haven't you given up? Didn't you have financial problems? Yes, I did. Did you have death in your family and heartaches? Yes, we did. You had health issues? Oh, yes, we do. Why are you still here? Because they never stopped being in love with God. And they never doubted his faithfulness. Let me tell you, if this church is full of 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and we kick away the canoe of you old ones, who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them? Their life's hard, but God's good. Yes, you go through financial trouble, but he's a provider. Yes, he can call wayward children home. Who's going to teach them that? So I guess, in a way, I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to leaders. I'm talking to you. Is you're needed. You're needed. And I'm sorry for the times we make you feel disrespected. That the music you love doesn't have anointing anymore. Forgive us for that. Because if there's ever a time the church needed the older saints to teach the new ones, it's now. It's now. This church was built on the blood, sweat, and tears and pocketbooks of you saints. Who's going to teach them the tithe? You are. Who's going to teach them that missions is important? You are. Who's going to teach them that building a church takes sacrifice? Who's going to teach them that? You are. Who's going to be the ones that encourage them to be the next teachers, nursery workers, Sunday school teachers, worship leaders, worship band members? Who's going to teach them? You are. And here's something for you oldies. Right now I'm praising you a little bit. Get ready for an ouch, okay? Get ready for an ouch. This is a personal thing. Don't ever come to me and say, I'm retired. It's time for the young ones to take over. I don't want to hear it. I did my time in the nursery. Let the young ones do it. I don't want to hear it. I taught Sunday school for many, many years. Let the young ones do it. The new members do it. Don't want to hear it. Because that's disrespectful to you, to yourself, that you don't got it anymore. Yes, you do. You maybe can't run as fast, but you got a voice. You need to teach these young mothers and young dads and young men and young women how to be a godly woman, how to be a godly man, even in tough times, because you've been through it. Church, we need you. And we need that young church, too. Because who's going to take the canoe back and pick up some more people and bring them. Don't say the young ones. We all are going to do that. Let me close with this thought. What would this look like if you got this boat? I'll use a rowboat now, with many oars. One side is young people, and one side is old people. Older saints, excuse me, veterans. One side's a new, one side's a veteran, and they begin rowing. But the veterans are rowing that direction, and the new are rowing in that direction. What's going to happen to that boat? It's going to go in a circle. It's going nowhere. God help us. God help us. See, they need us. We're the navigators. Us older, we're the navigators. We say, I've been there before. Let me show you how you can do this. They have the strength. They have the vitality. They have the, you know, they're vibrant again. We need them to pull. They're going to get lost without us. And we're not going anywhere without them. God, help us. God, speak to Bethel Assembly, God. Speak to Walnut Grove. Speak to Allison Park. Say, your boat is ready. And then we all get in it. And we row in the same direction. And we encourage one another. The youth are encouraged by our faith. And we're encouraged by their newness of life. And we go back to the shore. And we bring some more souls. Can we close in a song? I don't know what song you have. And this will be a good time for you to find that prayer closet, whether you come up here or in your seat, and just say, Lord, honest to you, I have not given the church my heart like I used to. I don't get along with you like I used to. Your word, it's dusty on a shelf. And I've not told anybody about you in a long, long, long time. God, refresh me. Speak again like you spoke to St. Patrick back 1,600 years ago. Your boat is ready. I have a job for you. God, speak to us. After worship, I'll close us in prayer. Can we just stand? Dismiss us in prayer, but as I was standing up front, I remembered a story again of St. Patrick. God began the work in him when he was what? 16. A young boy. But when he was to go back to Ireland, he was 60. So God uses the young. He uses the old. Your boat is ready. Just say yes. Lord God, help us not to just say, amen, we're in church today, heard a sermon, and go home, and it is soon forgotten. I speak that for myself, but I speak that for all of us, that, Lord, we would hear. It says, when you speak, Lord, it's important we listen, And then when we listen to obey. So God, speak to each one of us that area that really you're saying, pull that boat back into the shore and get on it and spend some time with me. Lord, you did some of your best preaching from a boat. So Lord, speak to us again today and this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. Now you got a little different take on it. And thank you for having Mary and I. We loved it. We love this church.